This morning I'm going to take a week off from the study of Revelation, and we're going to be looking at the lives of a couple of mothers. And specifically, two women whose names are in the lineage, recorded in the lineage of Christ in Matthew chapter 1. There are four women recorded in the lineage of Jesus. Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Judah, Rahab, a temple prostitute from the city of Jericho, Ruth, a Moabitess, and Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. All three of these women were sinners saved by grace. And all three of them were viewed as righteous by those that knew them at the time they lived. I want to specifically look this morning, concentrate mainly on Ruth, but I'm also going to concentrate a little bit and talk a little bit about her mother-in-law, because sometimes we don't put the connections together. And her mother-in-law was Rahab. I'd like to read a portion of the account of Ruth this morning. Ruth was born in the land of Moab. A woman by the name of Naomi and her husband and their two sons. Elimelech was the dad and husband of Naomi. Mahlon and Chilion were her two sons. I need to give you a little background of Israel and Moab. Israel was not to have anything to do with the Moabites, because at the time that God had delivered Israel out of Egypt, Moab sought to undermine and destroy the faith of Israel, preventing them from passing by the land of Moab. And actually, the king of Moab sought to have curses placed upon Israel. Even though the descendants of Moab and Ammon were cousins of the Jewish people, they were descendants, the physical descendants of Lot, who was referred to as a righteous man, although he was a sinner like you and I. God had instructed that the Israelites were not to marry the Moabites. They were not to give their sons to the Moabite daughters, nor their daughters to the Moabite men. Partially because the Moabites had abandoned the true worship of the Lord, and instead had incorporated false worship and the worship of idols into their belief systems, and were seeking to undermine and destroy Israel's faith in God as well. As you look at this Jewish couple with two boys, the account in Ruth tells us what happened. And in Ruth chapter 1 it says, "And now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion. Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. and she was left with her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left with her two sons, and was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited the people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go return each of you to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them and lifted up her voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, and if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave on to her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if I ought, but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left, speaking unto her. Just a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word. Help us understand the faith of these women and how this faith was used by you to impart the truth unto men of godly character that were called by you to be in the line of the Messiah to come. Lord, speak to us through your word today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's some things that our culture probably doesn't understand that that Naomi was speaking to Ruth about. One is she told her daughter-in-laws to stay and to remain there, not go back with her. And then she made a statement. She said, because I'm old, I'm not going to have a husband. I won't bear any more sons. So I can't give you another husband. Now, if you go and you look at during the time of Judah, one of the things that you'll see is that if a son died and he had a brother, the brother would marry the son's wife, and he would have children by his former sister-in-law, and the first male child that would be born onto that brother and his sister-in-law after they were married, that child would be the inheritor of his brother's inheritance. And this is what Naomi's speaking about. Your husbands are dead. I have no more sons. I'm an old woman. I can't bear children. And even if I, by the grace of God, was able to find a husband, was able to bear sons, these women were probably in their late teens when this account occurs. And Ruth is asking, if I would bear a male child today, would you, or Naomi is asking, if I would bear a male child today, would you wait 15, 20 years for that boy to grow up so that you can marry him, and by that time you're going to be a middle-aged woman? No, you need to stay here with your family. You need to find a husband amongst your people. But I want you to see the difference between Orpah and Ruth. They both loved Naomi. Naomi must have been a marvelous woman. She was a woman who, when her husband said, "We're going to go to the land of Moab," she went. Even though he shouldn't have gone. When she got there, she loved her daughter-in-laws. They meant the world to her. And they loved her. It says that Orpah kissed her and wept as she obeyed what her mother-in-law told her to do and go back to her people and to her gods. But I want you to see there was a difference in Ruth. It says that Ruth clave unto her mother-in-law. She wouldn't let her go. Another portion in Scripture, you see that someone's cleaving on someone and doesn't want to let them go. That's when Jesus rose from the dead. And a woman comes to the well, or comes to the tomb, and she cleaves onto the Lord and doesn't want to let Him go. It's that same word that's used here. And then she gives a statement that's often misquoted in the sense that it's given during a wedding ceremony of the relationship between a husband and a wife, but this is between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. And I want you to see that there was much more than just a human relationship that had occurred here. Ruth had given her heart to the Lord. How do I know that? Because she wanted nothing to do with the gods of the Moabites. Even though they had been her gods, and even though her family remained there, she was willing to go to a land that she'd never been to and stay by the side of a woman that she'd only known for a short period of time. Now, I want you to understand some other things that are going on here, because in our culture today, we don't see the danger that was there for these two women. And also, we don't understand the peril they were in because they had no men to support them. This was an agrarian-based culture. You made your living by raising animals and raising crops. As a woman, you would help your husband, but you were not the main supporter of the family. The man was. The man supported the family with food, with protection, with security. And not only are there no men left in Naomi's life, but now there's no men in Ruth's life either. Yet she is willing to put herself in a position of potential danger to travel by foot and to go from Moab to Israel would probably be at least 100 miles or more by foot. With no one to support her. And once Naomi got back to Bethlehem, she didn't know what she was going to find other than what she had heard, that they had crops. They go back, and we find in verse 19, so they went until they came unto Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, and all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? Now, I want you to understand, Naomi's character was a godly character and one of renown, because the people had not forgotten Naomi. And she'd been gone for some time. Why? Because this was a woman who trusted God and believed what God said, and believed that the Lord of the heavens and the Creator of the universe would make provision for her and watch over and take care of her. And her faith evidently went before her. The people were thrilled to see Naomi again. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Now Mara means bitter or bitterness. Naomi means pleasant. Why? For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi? Seeing the Lord hath testified against me and the Almighty hath afflicted me. How had God afflicted her? She viewed the death of her husband and the death of her two sons, the having to leave her one daughter-in-law, and really returning empty-handed back to Bethlehem with nothing. In spite of that, Naomi's trust is in God. And she's going to introduce Ruth to have the same type of faith in the provision of the Lord that she, Naomi, has. Verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Now there's the barley harvest in Israel is the first harvest of the spring, and they do the barley harvest first, and shortly after the barley is all taken in and harvested and threshed, then they do the wheat harvest. And Naomi gets back, and she's familiar. The city she grew up in. She knows the custom. She knows what God has said in His Word. And she also knows that the Lord has made provision for the widow. And that He has said that those that are in the harvesting are to leave a certain amount of crop around the edges. And those that are in need, the widows, can go out and harvest so that they can get grain because they do not have a man to take care of them. She also understands the principle of a kinsman redeemer, because that's what she was referring to her daughter-in-laws about not having any more sons. There was no immediate kinsman to redeem them out of their situation. However, Naomi knows of a man. And this man is a relative of her husband. And this man would have the right to be the kinsman redeemer because he's a close relative, and so he could redeem them out of their condition. This man is called Boaz. And that brings us to Rahab. Boaz was a wealthy man. His father had been a prince of Israel. His father had been at Jericho. I don't know if his father was one of the spies that went into Rahab's house that she preserved his life. I don't know. All I know is that Boaz's father saw in Rahab a woman of tremendous faith. A woman who'd grown up in a culture which the whole culture was trying to tear down her understanding of God and keep her from ever knowing the true and the living God. And yet, she saw and heard in the life of the Israelites a people who knew the true God. And she heard what this true God had done in delivering His people out from those that should have been easily able to defeat Israel and drive them back to Egypt. Yet God, by His power, had delivered them from Sihon and Og. He delivered them from the Amalekites. And now He was at the city of Jericho with His people. And His people were about to destroy Jericho, a city that could never be destroyed. And what was Rahab to do? Was she to trust her gods and the walls of her city, or was she to trust the true and the living God? She believed in God and did what God told her to do. And I believe Solomon, Boaz's dad, saw in Rahab faith of a woman that he hadn't seen in all of Israel. And that was the woman he wanted for his wife. It says that they married and they had a son. And the son was Boaz. This young boy, who is now a middle-aged man, probably in all likelihood, had sat at the feet of his mother, hearing the words of his mother's faith, hearing the account of how God had delivered his mother and her parents and her family, hearing how that God had destroyed the wickedness of the city of Jericho and how He had brought the people into the land, and how that this God had shown in His grace and mercy, even though He had told Israel to wipe out the Canaanites and she was a Canaanite, yet she cried on the name of the Lord, and He delivered her and gave her hope and life itself. And Boaz would have heard all of those accounts at the foot of his mother. Never underestimate the impact that you have on your children and share with them what God has done in your life. I remember growing up as a kid, and my mom did not come from a spiritual family. She ended up getting saved when she was in high school. And not having come from a spiritual family, she really didn't know a lot of the things that you're supposed to do to help your kids. But she tried. And so she bought some Bible story books, and we'd have these Bible stories at night before we went to bed. And then I remember talking to her and saying, as a little kid, and my mom was probably 30 at the time, "Can you tell us about the olden days?" "What are the olden days?" she'd say. "When you were a kid." And she'd tell us stories and accounts from her life. Never underestimate the impact of you sharing in the lives of your children what God has done in your life. That's what Rahab did with Boaz. Naomi sees and asks Ruth, "Where have you been? Where have you been gleaning today?" And Ruth tells her, "I've been out in the field of a man by the name of Boaz." Naomi says, "He's your kinsman redeemer. He's a near relative of my husband. Go and talk to him and have dealings with the maids of his field and continue to glean in his field." Do you think that Boaz's dad had maybe told him about what had attracted him to Rahab? Dads, have you ever stopped to think about helping your young children understand what they need to look for in a husband or a wife? Why you were attracted to your wife? What drew you to her? What they should be looking for in a mate? Naomi tells her to go out and continue. And I believe that Solomon probably had had talks with his son. His son wasn't married. His son didn't have a wife, even though the indications from Scripture are that he probably was middle-aged. And they got married a lot younger then than they do today. But I believe he may have listened to his dad and was looking for that kind of a woman. A woman like his mom. A woman of faith. A woman who would give up everything to trust in God. And as Boaz goes out to his field, it's interesting, the account says that he's surveying his field and he's surveying how things are going with the barley harvest. And all of a sudden, he sees a woman he hasn't seen before. And there's something different about this woman from all the other maidens. She's a woman of faith. She was a woman willing to give up everything to serve the God of Naomi. She was a woman who was willing to put her life on the line to be with her mother-in-law and go back to a land she'd never known. Boaz goes and he talks to his men and he says, I want you to do something. Leave extra wheat, extra barley for her. He didn't have to do that. I want you to see Ruth's attitude. Her attitude is one. It says she rose up early in the morning and went to the field and stayed late at night after many of the rest had gone home. Why? She knew there was only a short period of time and she had to get together all the crop she could for her mother-in-law and her. After the first day, she comes back and it says that she's got about two-thirds of a bushel of barley that she's gathered that day. I don't know about you, but when I grew up on the farm, our barley would probably run, and that was before they had all these super crops they have today, but we would sometimes have 60 bushel to an acre on barley. She gathered two-thirds of a bushel. What she did is she gathered it, the stalks, and she beat the wheat. She threshed it. She took the seed. And she brought it home to Naomi. The account that I read said that that would probably be enough to sustain them for 10 days. That's a lot of work for 10 days of food. And the next day she was out doing it again. Boaz sees her faithfulness. Boaz hears about this woman. And Boaz sees a woman that's very much like his mother. A foreigner in a strange land who trusts the true and the living God above all else. Naomi tells Boaz or Ruth to do an interesting thing. She says that she's to go and take note of where he lays down to rest, because they stay out in the threshing field, and so they're resting out in the threshing field at night, sleeping. She says, take note of where he lays down, and then when you see where he lays down, after it's dark and no one can see, you go and you uncover his feet and you lay at his feet. Another custom we don't understand. It had nothing to do with sexual relationships, nothing. It had everything to do with seeing if he's going to acknowledge that he's their kinsman redeemer and redeem Ruth and Naomi. She is playing and placing herself at His mercy. She does what Naomi says. All of a sudden, if you can imagine, you're out with all the guys in the threshing field, and there's a woman at your feet. And Boaz says, "Who are you?" "Ruth, the daughter-in-law of Naomi." He tells her, "I am a kinsman redeemer, but there's one other that's closer than I who has the right of redemption before me." He said, "Leave before the sun comes up and I will take care of it." He then proceeds to tell his men to get more grain and give her more grain and send her on her way. The next day, Boaz goes to town. Again, this is totally foreign to us. But he goes to town to deal with the kinsman redeemer that's got rights before him. I don't know what their exact relationship was, but let's say Boaz is a second cousin and this guy's a first cousin. So consequently, he is a closer in line, and he has the right to redeem or claim Ruth as his wife and to claim all of Naomi's inheritance as his. Well, evidently Naomi has some land because her husband had some land. Remember, they were all given an inheritance when they came into the land. And he evidently had some land. And this relative of Boaz's, who's closer in relation to Naomi's husband than he, really wants that land. And so Boaz comes and he says, "I am going to claim the kinsman redeemer rights, but there's one that's closer than I, and you have the right ahead of me." And he says, "Well, I'm going to take it. I'm going to be the kinsman redeemer because I want that." But then Boaz, but he says, that changes the perspective. He doesn't want his relative's old wife and a young Moabite widow. He just wants the land. Boaz says it's a package deal. You get the women and the land, or you get nothing. So it says that what he did is the guy took off his shoe, spit in his shoe, and we're going, "What is all that about?" That's the way he was saying, "I'm giving up my rights. I will no longer come back and even say I have any right to this. And I'm giving it over to you." And he hands it to Boaz. So Boaz now has the right to redeem Ruth and Naomi in their land, which he does. And Boaz is amazed. You know what he says? "Ruth, why would you want me? There are young men. Why do you want me?" Because she saw in Boaz godly character, like his mother and his father. And she wanted that type of character in her home for her son. Age wasn't the issue. Character was. They end up getting married. And if you want to turn with me to the last chapter, Ruth rewards a husband and a son. So Boaz took Ruth in verse 13, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. This is the heritage of the house of David. A prostitute from the city of Jericho, and a Moabitess idol worshiper from Moab, who became two godly women who not only influenced the generations in which they lived, but God used them to be part of the lineage of our Lord and Savior. And Naomi was not only blessed in her lifetime, but she was blessed because of Ruth's faithfulness in that the Messiah would come, and he'd come and one day sit on the throne of what would be Ruth's great-grandson, David. We do not know the impact that we have on people's lives. Moms, you have the opportunity to have a tremendous impact on your children. We read in Proverbs this morning that they will rise up and call her blessed. Sometimes I know that we go, when's that going to happen? But there's coming a day where reality will set in. The accounts that you've shared of how God has worked in your life will hit home. And lives will be changed for eternity because of your faithfulness. May you be a Ruth. May you be a Rahab. May you be a Naomi. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these things. Lord, help us to realize how you could use women born to ungodly cultures and ungodly worship and transform their lives into godly princes that touched hearts and souls across eternity. Lord, help us to be like these women. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn with me to 625. So precious is Jesus.